Yeah, while I'm speaking, I may drift to the back there to all those good, sweet things. Good morning. What an honor and a privilege it is to be here with you today. And sometimes when I get myself into these kinds of situations, and I don't know you very well, and you certainly don't know me very well, you hear an introduction like that, and then you wonder, he said, wow, he's been in ministry, retired from ministry, 40 years of ministry, and you walk away today thinking, I thought he would be better than that. Sometimes that happens. But yeah, it's an interesting position in life to be in, where the first time in 40 years you're not on some church payroll, and you're really having to get out there and kind of hustle your own living. And this is something that's been developing, and I think the Lord has been opening doors over the last 5 years or so. I can tell you it's kind of not a very long story, and I'm not going to tell it to you today. But what I am excited about is most of the books that I'm narrating have to do with helping people, and helping people especially to understand God's Word in deeper ways. And so I'm getting to work with some great publishers, and they just happen to be having me narrate some classics in terms of Christian theology. Hopefully not boring stuff, but deep stuff. And so if you get a chance maybe to go on Amazon.com or someplace like that and just put my name in there, Jim Dennison. And there's actually a Baptist pastor out in Dallas by the same name. Don't get his stuff, okay? No. Yeah, you're welcome to do that. But it's a fascinating thing. We're trying to do some other things around town as well. Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights, I'm usually out driving. Some of you may have heard like of Uber. So I use my car and I drive for Uber. It's not so much about the money. It's about getting out, because there's a lot of people who are out on those nights, and they are at restaurants and bars and such, and they don't need to be on the road driving. So I count it a privilege to be able to get them off the road and to honor at least the little bit of sense that they have to call somebody for a ride. And so, yeah, I've met some very interesting people all through this community, but it's a nice thing to be able then to drive downtown and have people recognize your car, recognize you, and go, hey, there's an Uber driver. You know, he's the best one around. Now, of course, they're inebriated when they say that, so I don't know what they're saying about me when they're sober. But that's been fun as well. But it's been great to meet a lot of different people with the voiceover work, networking to try to build the business. I've had the great privilege of being introduced into various parts of the entertainment industry in this area, including being on television shows and in some movies and things of that sort. So every once in a while, you might see my face pop up on HBO or Netflix or the National Geographic Channel or some other places like that. But the great thing about it is there's so many great stories to tell, because when you go on to sets like that, the first thing I do is, well, what do you do? I say, well, I do voiceovers. Oh, really? And that just opens the door. If you tell them, oh, yeah, I'm a pastor in a church, you know, it's kind of like walking around with those three other guys in a foursome on a golf course. You know, what do you do? I'm a pastor. And then they know they can't curse anymore. So anyway, we try to keep the doors open. I try to build relationships in the places that I would never have had access to if I had remained kind of on a church payroll. So I'm very, very glad for that. And probably the greatest exposure at this point, though I'm not quite sure how the Lord wants me to use it yet, is that I was asked to be the voice of a narrator for videos on a YouTube channel called Top 10 Archive. When we started, it had 1,000 subscribers, and now it has, as of this morning, 515,000 subscribers. And so those are people all around the world, over 95 million views of our collective videos. And at some point, I am convinced that I'll get to be a voice for the Lord, you know, to those people around the world. So anyway, enough of that. That's not the important stuff. The important stuff is what we're here for, to talk about from God's Word. Thank you, Joyce, was it, for reading that scripture? Thank you very much. Well done. And thank you for those who were responsible for the opportunity to speak today. You know, like I said, when I'm asked to speak, I'm not quite sure what to share with an audience. And so sometimes the best thing I know to do is just to share a little bit about experiences that I've been involved with and places where I've seen God working. And one of the things that I got the great privilege to do back in June of 2010 was to travel with a team of six other people to the Philippines for a missions trip. And on that mission trip, there were a lot of stories that came out of it. One I remember is that we were working among some of the poorest of the nation, quite literally so, and developing some interesting relationships there that we found out later led to some of those becoming a part of the Lord's body, a part of God's family. But I also got a chance to talk with some people as well about the gospel who were at that time advising close advisors, the kind, you know, they have his personal cell number of the president of the Philippines. We had a prayer walk. I don't know if you've ever heard of a prayer walk before, but that's basically where you get out into, we sat down in the middle of the city we were in, San Fernando, which was the capital of that province, that state in the Philippines. And we were given instructions, just go where you think the Spirit of God is leading you and start praying. Don't let anybody know that's what you're doing, just go and do it. And so I ended up at City Hall, and the first person and I look up at, the second floor, and I have a conversation with, he says, there's a council meeting that's going on, you want to go listen? I said, sure. So here I walk into this council meeting, and I try to be as inconspicuous as possible, but I'm the lightest skinned one there in the room. So I'm kind of sticking out a little bit. But I'm over there, and as the meeting is going on, I'm praying. And there was a presentation being done by the head of the provincial health department. And I was just really impressed by what they were trying to do in preventing abortions and such. And so anyway, after the meeting, I got a chance to meet the board members and let them know that I was just there for no other reason than to pray for them while they were in their meeting. Well, it so happened that one of the guys was a part of a political family dynasty in the area. And wouldn't you know, out of it, here comes his wife, willing now to host a Bible study group in her home, in their home. And their home was just not too terribly far away from the church building, the church that we were working with. And so that was kind of... Oh, and by the way, it was a week later, we were in a service like this, and a brother that I had met began to have breathing problems, and he did not have any medication. And if he didn't get the medication, he probably would have seized up and died. But we took him down to the health department, and who walks through but the very head of the provincial health department that I didn't get a chance to meet the week before, but because I was unusual there, he recognized me. And he stopped, and I said, I really enjoyed your presentation. And he says, well, what are you doing here? I said, here's what's happening with my friend. He immediately put everything in motion, where that gentleman not only got medication, which saved his life that day, but also, you know, he got medication to take care of him for weeks and months to come. So it was just kind of, you know, interesting to see God work in that way. There was kind of a disastrous meeting we had with a high school principal. Now, in this high school, there were 6,000 students. The church that we had a presence on the campus teaching the children. They had that ability. Well, this meeting just fell apart. I won't go through all the details of it, but the principal was just extremely upset. And those of us on our little mission team were just scared to death that we had blown it for the, you know, for the local church to have access to the campus. And the missionary there came back and he assured us, he says, man, that was the greatest thing that could ever happen. And as a result, we learned later on that not only were they extended in their contract to be able to be on the high school campus to openly teach the Bible, but they were also, they found a door open to also do the same thing on the local university campus, which they had not been able to do before. So just, you know, it was an interesting trip. But what I really wanted to share with you today is a story about a local family there and a testimony. Now, a few of us visited the home of a Philippine family one afternoon. About 20 of the family members were there. After getting to know each other, there's always food involved when, you know, you're invited as a guest to a Philippine home. But we were sitting around, finally, some tables that had been pushed together. And the missionary, unexpectedly, unannounced to me, turns and says, "Why don't you share your testimony?" Now, you would figure that somebody who had been at that point, you know, some 35 years in full-time ministry in one capacity or another would have a testimony. No. I had no idea what to share. But I opened my mouth. And it's one of those things where I think the Bible comes true and says, don't worry about what you're going to say when you need to. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. And I began to talk. As we heard earlier in the reading of the Scripture, the New Testament speaks of Christians having been adopted by God. And I told them that as long as I could remember, I have believed that God has a purpose for me. Something, maybe just one thing, that He wants me to really accomplish. Something that He wanted to do me to do for Him, and I don't know what that is. I've yet to figure that out. I don't know if it's already been done or it's yet to be done. I don't know if it's a single event or a process that He wants me involved with. It may be to speak to hundreds of thousands. But that day, I think it was to speak to one. And I know I'm speaking to, if I can divert from the story a little bit here, I know I'm speaking to a bunch of you. But today, I don't know, I may be speaking to one. I don't know, maybe it was to speak to hundreds of thousands. Maybe it was simply to be a husband. One thing you'll learn about me very quickly is I'm a big teddy bear. I cry very easily. To be a husband and a father to a wife and my daughters, that Renee didn't really know growing up because her father abandoned his wife and his children when she was 8 years old. And I don't know, maybe God's purpose was to only be a blessing to her and to be someone who would never leave, will never leave, or abandon her or his daughters. I have known that I have been adopted from infancy. I can't remember not knowing I was adopted. My older brother, who's also adopted, was actually at 4.5 years old the very first one to hold me in my family. But I really believe that God was holding me long before that. The circumstances of my birth, and I understand I'm telling this to this gathering of people. Circumstances of my birth I am the result of adultery and unfaithfulness. My birth mother worked in a North Florida sheriff's office. She was having marital trouble, so she went to her Lutheran pastor. Nothing said about Lutherans in particular. But went to her pastor to seek some counseling. Well, the counseling took a turn that it shouldn't have. It ended up in an affair. And here I am. Now, growing up, I received cards and little gifts at Christmas and for my birthday, signed from someone who loves you. And I had no idea who it was who was sending these, but snoop that I am. I was digging around in the family safe that was kept in my parents' bedroom closet. Don't ask me how I got the combination. And you know what I found? I found... That's not it. My original birth certificate. And on it was the name of my birth mother. I found her address through something you young people don't know about and don't know how to use if you had one. It's called a phone book. I saw where she lived, but I made no contact. At age 15, I got another one of these birthday cards signed from someone who loves you. And at that point, my dad decided it was time to fill me in on some information. He told me some things I already knew, but one thing he did tell me that I didn't know is that she had made an agreement with my parents that she could come to church occasionally, where my father was the pastor, and she could watch me grow. When I was in college, I had a chance to meet her while home on a Christmas break. She had sent another one of those cards from someone who loves you, but without a return address. But of course, I had her address, and this time I wrote back telling her where and when I would be on a given day and that she was welcome to meet me there. When we met, it was like looking into my own eyes in a mirror. We spoke for just about an hour, with her showing me pictures of older half-siblings. And the last question I had for her is, "What would you have named me?" And she says, "James." Which I later found out was untrue. She wanted an awful name for me. I don't even remember what it was. Just awful. But that was the last time I saw her. No regrets. But the point is, by grace and mercy and love, I was adopted by Perryman and Vivian Dennison. And you know what? They actually paid a price for me. I have the receipt. That's the hospital bill. You know what it cost to bring me into the world? $147.50. So if anybody ever asks me what you feel like you're worth, I have got a dollar amount for them. Yeah, if you talk to them, they might tell you they've been paying the price for me ever since. But you know, here's what they did for me. They paid whatever it took. So that I could be a part of their forever family. So I could be their son. Not in part, but in total. They gave me a home. A place of security. where I knew I could always come back to and never be rejected, and they gave me all I needed. They gave me my name and their name. They never took away my name as an individual, but they said, you're going to be a part of this family, and here is our name for you to carry always. And I have carried the heritage of family names because my first and middle names are after my paternal and maternal grandfathers. And they're trying. My dad has been, he's passed away. What's today? 3 years. But they always talked about wanting to leave me an inheritance. Mom at 92 still talks about that. She says, want to leave you boys something. And we keep telling her, Mom, we want you to live long enough to spend every cent. And I want you to note that, as I was telling this Philippine family, that's what God has done for me and what He makes available to you. He's paid the greatest price so that we can be a part of His forever family, forever His sons and daughters. He gives us a place of belonging, a place of security, and supplies all that we need. And He promises us an inheritance. And the best part about that inheritance is not the mansion and it's not the streets of gold. It's just the fact that we'll be in His presence forever. And He has given us a name. His very name. God has had a purpose for my life. He's protected me. Oh, He's seen me through some really stupid things that I have done. He's given me parents through whom I learned to love the Word of God, and in them saw uncounted demonstrations of selfless sacrifice to others. The Lord is truly blessed and He's empowered, allowing me to grow all in Christ, for Christ and His glory. And I told them that He has a purpose in Christ for you, even starting today, all by His grace and His mercy and His love. Now, back to the Philippine family. When I finished, this family looked stunned. I couldn't quite figure out why the expressions they had on their face were there, but finally the father of the home asked me a question with a look of puzzlement, and I learned that revealing such a story as I had told was quite rare in their culture. You want to know his question? I'm going to tell you whether you want to or not. His question was, aren't you ashamed? And my response was, how could I be when God has done so much for me? How can I be when I've been rescued from an origin of shame and loved so much that He gave me His name? Oh yeah, there's one more important part of the story I need to tell you. There was a young girl, a daughter in the family, 15 years old, who was there. And I noticed that she was listening intently. She looked a little different than the rest of them. And she had just found out the day before, for the first time, they told her that she had been adopted as an infant. And she was hurt and angry. Why did God have me travel pretty much literally halfway around the world to share that story? that I had no idea, no expectation that I was going to give. I believe it's because he wanted that young girl to know how special she was to be a part of that family, and that God wanted her too as part of her own family, his own family. I learned about 2 weeks after returning to the United States that that young girl was baptized into Jesus Christ and experienced her new birth into the family of God. I want you to know today that God has a purpose for you. Oh, it's a different course of life than mine, of course. But God has gathered you up as you are today, seated here, with all of your experiences, the good ones, the bad ones, the joys, the sorrows, the blessings, the pain. All of that He wants to use. And He has a purpose for you. But to have that purpose mean something, He says, first of all, I want you to wear my name. And I want you to find your place in my forever family. And if you haven't done that, I hope you will. I found out, I was reviewing some of these documents. Yeah, these are very old. Something I ran across that I didn't catch the first time. It was a letter from the state of Georgia. Anybody here from Georgia? I was forced to live the first year of my life in Georgia. I was born in Florida, though. But it says, enclosed, please find a certificate of adoption in the case of Perriman Hubert Dennison and Vivian Christian Dennison to adopt James Christie Dennison. We shall appreciate your assisting the adoptive parents file a new certificate of birth listing them. As if they were your natural parents. Isn't that cool? And I want you to know that's what God has in mind for you. The life out of Jesus is a life of shame. And God says, I don't want to just fix that. I want to give you a new life. And I want to give you a new nature. And it's going to be mine. And it will be one that's forever. And I don't know if we can help someone this morning who might not yet have become a part of the family of God, His forever family. But please do. And God wants you to be adopted into His family. He paid a great price to be able for to have it able for you to do that. And I hope you won't neglect that today. We're going to sing and share a song together, and then I encourage you, if you need to do something, reach out to one of the leaders here at the church and tell them what you need to do to become a part of that forever family.